Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Joining me, as always, is Sarah.
Hello there.
And Chris.
Hiya.
Now, everybody, when we encounter some of life's difficulties, we're often told to stand our ground and confront our problems. Our responses don't always work out like that, and sometimes staying in the fight isn't the best idea. Today, we're answering this question. Is running away ever the answer?
I think often it is.
Often?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, your big cowardly yellow belly.
Yeah. I think if it's a habitual thing, you keep on running away from the same things, yeah, then you need to look at why. So let's use the obvious one of relationships. You know, that if you get into a relationship and then you get scared and you run away, yeah, from the relationship, the commitment, then definitely examine it. But I think often it's good to take a break. It's good to have a reset. It's good, yeah, to, if, especially if you're in an environment which is dangerous, uh-huh, get out, look after yourself. Got to survive.
Yeah, when no one is saying if the house is burning down, don't run away, coward.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if you're, I feel like
fight the blaze.
I'm gonna answer it by saying if you're in a situation that it is threatening your safety,
yeah,
you can run away.
Right, okay.
Would you include mental health safety in that as well?
Ooh.
As in, if you're in a situation that is making you mentally unsafe, then yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if it was work and you know, it's a work situation.
I see the path you're leading me down, Chris.
Yeah. and Sarah wants to run away from this train of thought.
Run away from this show. Yeah.
It's complicated. It's nuanced, right? Because it depends on the environment and the problems you're facing. And have you been able to escalate the problems to people, and should it be dealt with? But I think ultimately, if you've been trying to do the right thing and it's just causing you damage, just get out. You've got one life. Find a better way.
Well, maybe the argument against that, though, is that it depends on the level, of course. But some people say nowadays people perhaps not made of sterner stuff, and that actually people are maybe too quick to run away and to leave things and not show a bit of steel, perhaps.
Yeah, so what, as in we need a bit more resilience about us?
Well, okay, so you mentioned mental health there, which is, of course, something that certainly in this country in the last few years people have been switched on a bit more to, which long overdue, one would certainly argue. There was I may have mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again, damn it all. It was a little program on mental health, which Prince William was in there. And Peter Crouch, the footballer, I think Jermaine Genus was also on the show, and a couple of others. And they were just sitting around talking. And Prince William said something which I thoroughly agreed with. He said, in this country, we have a bit of a keep calm and carry on and stiff upper lip attitude towards things. But he added, and that does have its place. Sometimes in a situation, yeah, that is actually good. But sometimes that is not helpful. And I'm glad he said that because...
Yeah.
He's absolutely right. I think the temptation is like the pendulum, isn't it? You know, for so many years and decades.
Yeah.
Certainly in this country, it was one way, and then it sort of swings back the other. But you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater sometimes.
I'll kind of give more context for my answer.
Okay.
We did a thing at work the other day about core sensitivities, which is like where you're under, say, emotional distress or duress, then you can be pulled one of three different ways. And so one is a thing called esteem sensitive, where the end the worst part of that is that you could become narcissistic, which is essentially, if I'm naturally esteem sensitive, then it's never my fault. It's always someone else's fault. I'm always pointing the finger elsewhere. So actually, I'm just going to fight and blame other people. The other
McEnroe approach, by the way, for those remember. I will come back to that, though, actually.
There's another one called separation sensitive, which is where actually I will do anything to not lose the connection here, even if it's staying in a bad relationship. Actually, like, I'm so, my the worst fear for me would be that I am separated from people or a person or whatever. And so I think the worst result of that with mental health would be that you end up having borderline personality disorder. So you have to split yourself because you're trying to appease other people and yourself.
Okay.
And then the other one, and we all will go slightly one way. Obviously, and what I'm saying is the end results of these sort of mental health issues. The other one is what's called safety sensitive, which is where you're looking to get out all the time. I cannot remember the end result of that. I am safety sensitive. So my natural thing when things go wrong is, how do I get out?
Right.
How do I leave? So and it's funny, we talked about this at work the other day, and even down to when we're in a team meeting, I always sit nearest the door. Like, it's just those little things like that. And so I always
thought that is because of those big muscles you've got, Chris. You're like the doorman. If anybody comes in, you deal with
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Get him in a headlock. Get out of here. This is a church. Bang.
Get that man by the door. He's a dab hand at a headlock. Crying out loud.
So my natural reaction to running away is like, well, yeah.
Yeah, it's
like,
good to get out.
Give it another shot. Like, I think it's the flip side of the coin that we talked on other shows about, how do you start something new? I like new things. Like, I like newness. Like, I'm up for that sort of stuff. So I think it's the other side of the coin. But I think, so for me, very much, I'm like, yeah, actually, I'd say get out. But actually, I think if you're pulled one of the other ways, you might be like, no, you stay, you fight your ground, stay for your place. Like,
it's interesting when you said that, Chris. I think I'm the other. Well, it's three-sided, so I can't be the other side.
You were the second one.
What was that? The
separation. You would fight to stay connected, and you don't want to be separated.
That is very me. And I would be saying, I can work through this. I can fix this. I can make it better. Yeah. The worst thing, and I think, like, I was probably brought up to believe this a bit, is that the worst thing you can do is quitting. And obviously, we've done a show about quitting before, that was really interesting. Do listen to that if you haven't listened to it already. But I was definitely raised to believe that, like, you know, running away, that is quitting, that is failure. And so you can see how far, like, both of the different ways you and I would approach that when they go too far can be very unhealthy.
Yeah, well, I think just for maybe kind of, so we've got all three, I'll chuck in, probably the first one.
This is why we're such a good team.
Yeah, because I think this, but the thing is, though, I can't think of an occasion where I ever have been wrong.
Which is classic.
I'll write you a list later, Marcus. Yeah. Over. I'll do the Google Doc for you.
It's brilliant because the person who led it, we all know it's Jenny Peters, and she's talking about with the steam, like, she talks about, like, you got to know your bad press. Like, you know, that thing that everyone else knows about you, but you kind of don't want to see it yourself. It's good to know your bad press. Anyway, we said the funny thing is the esteem sensitive would be like, well, I don't have any. Like, that will be the natural.
No, you're absolutely right. That's like, the beauty of it.
Well, I know your bad press, but I don't know mine.
But that would be people of that ilk would be, oh, well, we don't have to spend much time with me then, do we?
Yeah,
I can help you, though.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'll look into that because I think it would be interesting to see good. Food for thought, Chris.
So my natural thing would be, like, because of the way I am, I would be like, just get out. And I think I've shared on the show before, like, I lived in America for a year. And I think what sparked this question originally was, like, was I running away? Did I want to go to America because I was actually trying to run away or not? So,
but you did. But you should just quickly say what you went to America for.
Yeah, I went to a ministry school in sort of, you know, in the Christian faith, and it was amazing. But I definitely, it was brilliant. It changed my life. Absolutely. Yeah, so But I think was the initial driver. I wasn't happy and I needed a reset and I just needed something else.
But were you trying to, I guess what I'm interested in is, were you trying to escape something specifically, or was it just that you wanted a fresh start?
Fresh start would be definitely, and also help with my stuff. And this was a place where actually I could start to work through my stuff in a healthy environment.
Because I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting a fresh, like, I love a fresh start. Like, as I said earlier, I don't think I'm a big sort of person for running away, but I love the idea of a fresh start. Like, I always used to love, like, you know, like, I remember, like, just before, like, I started uni or before you start a new job, like, I like that kind of blank slate.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. What does this hold? But
yeah,
I think there's a slight, maybe a nuance between a fresh start and, like, just dropping things and running because you can't handle a situation, if that makes sense.
No, totally. I wanted you to clarify that, Chris, because like, running away to America sounds like intriguing, like, well, you sort of, you know, hanging around in casinos and getting in a bit more money and you pay for the next trip. Yeah, you got a little stick on your shoulder with a little pouch at the end with a few possessions and jumping on sort of trains and making money playing the blues or something, you know, a bit of a hobo lifestyle, but sadly
far
not
more exciting than the year I did.
But the thing is, though, but the idea of, like, running away in that kind of thing actually really appeals to me for some reason.
Oh, really?
Because it, my thoughts on that are not seeped in reality. That's why I think it's essentially a glorified sort of backpacking kind of adventure,
and having no responsibilities and
exactly. Well, and I do get that totally. I mean, I did go backpacking once upon a time many years ago to South America, and to have no responsibility and to just be that, you know, rolling stone. And all that sort of business. That's an expression. I'm not suggesting I was poncing around like Mick Jagger, although I was. Rolling Stone gathers no moss and all that kind of those kind of expressions. And so the thought of kind of running away and thinking, yeah, you know, I'm gaming the system here. I'm not going to be bogged down by any kind of perceived norms and sort of rules and all that kind of stuff. I get that, but of course, in reality, if you see people who, you know, perhaps some of us have seen them. If you stay too long at the fair, you see those who have been traveling backpacking or whatever in that particular example, they've been doing it too long. They're not particularly happy. You do get a few interesting people. Fair enough, I understand, and I know life can be lived in various ways. But if you're doing if you start doing stuff for the sake of it, or you really are running away, because when I went somewhere, it was just nearly 7 months. It was absolutely brilliant, and I was in my early 20s at the time. I came back, and I had no responsibilities then. You know, single, went with a mate of mine. Lovely old job. It was brilliant. But when I came back, I was like, oh, this is crap. This is every day is just the same. There's no adventure here. Oh, well, you get a job. And you do that, you know, sort of middle class kind of antsy kind of, you know, like,
I don't want to be like everybody else. Join the rat race.
You
were running to something, weren't you? Really? You were running towards adventure. Like, you want, you weren't running away from problems, but you were actually, you were going forward.
Yeah. And I think, and again, that was done, I would say, in the right way. I had space and time to do it. I'd saved up enough money, et cetera, et cetera. But when I came back and I thought, then I wanted to run away. Then I thought, right, how do I get back out there? And I really contemplated it for a while. And I thought, oh, okay. And you do that thing. Oh, could I go and teach English somewhere? I don't want to teach English.
You don't want to be a teacher.
No, it's absolute bollocks. It's just an excuse to try and, oh, here I go again, off on the adventure. It would have been the wrong thing to do. And obviously I decided not to do it. Unfortunately, you know, I regret that decision. But no, I think that's it. You know, kind of that would have been a very sort of middle class version of running away, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know? But it would have been, and I think that that would have definitely been the wrong thing to do. Talking of people and privilege and running away, Harry and Meghan, did they run away?
Hmm.
I think there was definitely with Harry. I mean, I don't want to sort of get into the nuts and bolts of all that because it's possible in a given situation to be team no one. But I do look at, say, someone like old Harry Windsor, and I think that he always wanted to run away from his situation, get out of it. Yeah. And I don't blame him for that. Mm. I really don't. Whatever one may think of the royals and how it's gone down and things have been said and blah, 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 blah. I think there's a lad who was as you know, when you watch the footage of his mother's funeral and all that kind of stuff and what he went through, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Totally get that.
Especially when it's a lifestyle that you didn't choose for yourself.
Yeah.
You can see why someone just... I mean, you know, joining the armed forces as well was another way of doing something totally different.
Yeah.
Escaping from that, you know, life that he would have been living up until then.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, and...
I guess it's that sense of like when you feel utterly overwhelmed, then you just want to leave the room or wherever you're at as well. And I think, and it's interesting, as you said, like he went into the armed forces, and I know a lot of the royals do, but you know, it's not the fact that he's done that and come back and still then wanted to leave. Mm. It's not like he just needed a reset or a new way of being, or he needed to grow up or anything like that. Yeah, it's clearly that environment was not good for him, you know. In his, not just him, but his marriage and all these sort of things as well. And that's where I'm a bit like, well, yeah, you've got one life, mate. Like, you've got kids, you've got this stuff. Like, you've got to try and live it happy, really. And if your environment isn't good for that, then just do one.
I mean, yeah, there's ways of doing one and so on, as I said. Yeah, yeah. Bogged down talking
about I'm not saying Meghan and the royals way.
And so on, but yes,
I would have made that choice. Maybe they would have done it differently. I mean, I don't really know much about it, but
it's tough to get your head in the mindset of a royal.
Yeah, I definitely would put my sort of family and our happiness before anything else.
Yeah,
before I think anything else.
I'd have stayed in the castle.
You wouldn't say, yeah.
Come at me.
Walking around in a suit of armor.
Like Macbeth.
I suppose, yeah, Chris, it's interesting you put it that way of like, for him, it was my family, his family is in his wife and child are in a toxic situation. And for him, just getting the hell out of there felt like the answer. So you can see why he made the choice, whether you think it was right or not.
100%. And even if we might not think it was a toxic situation, they did.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was their experience.
Yeah. But I think it's a tough one. It's a tough one when you don't know the ins and outs. But I probably would have done the same with him.
Well, I mean, the most extreme example that I can think of when running away is the answer for some. You look at the situation in Ukraine, you look at lots of other conflicts around the world, you think of Yemen and the list goes on. Refugees, you know, this is why we have refugees, sadly, because people think this is the best way. And you know, talking of standing your ground, a lot of Ukrainians have stayed, of course, to fight, those who were not experienced in combat, which is a very, very brave, very bold decision. One to be admired, probably. But yeah, I mean, Chris, quite, I suppose, conveniently for this chat, you are the person I know who has easily had the most experience of refugees previously working in the UN. I know I often mention your job, by the way. It's not you, it's me who does this. Okay. So it's,
a personal agent.
I mean, how have you found that situation when people are running away from situations that we can't even begin? I mean, we've just talked about Harry and Meghan there, and I'm saying, well, it's difficult to get your head into the mindset of a royal. Well, at least we can go and where the palace is, and you can look in and think, all right, you can have a tour, and you're going to go, I wouldn't, you know, crumpets instead of toast for breakfast wouldn't be a bad shout. But when you're talking about refugees and this kind of thing, we've got no idea. Absolutely no. Not even close to a reference point.
And in my head, there's no choice. You know, you have to. You know, it's like, you can't imagine it until you're there to think, okay, so my government has turned on me and they are now trying to kill me and my family and all these sort of things. Or there's an invading force, like, and you just would. You just, like, your number one, you know, we're built to try and survive, and that is it, isn't it? And it's just, it's madness.
Well, if you think about people from a particular part of the world, their culture, their language, their way of life, everything they know is vastly different from Europe, even more so Northern Europe when you think about the climate and so on and so forth. I'm quite sure that a lot of people don't think to themselves, oh yeah, I've got, you know, England's a brilliant place. And look, I do love England, don't get me wrong, but as in, I don't want to put words in people's mouth, but it clearly it's so different. Like, think about the boot and the other foot. If we had to go and go, right, well, let's flee to the Middle East because here's the dangerous bit, and that's where.
Why would you want to leave your house and all your friends and all your family and your job and everything you know? Why would you want to do that? You wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. You don't. You miss when you're away from home, or that bit of land that you feel is your home for a long time. When I mentioned when I lived in America, I remember like watching. It was the James Bond film where he ends up in Scotland, and that's
Skyfall.
Yeah, and so most of that film is raining in London, and I really missed rainy England.
Yeah, but we crave familiarity, don't we?
You do. You're like, that's my home. You know, it's the weather. It's the
that's
food.
My rain.
Like, yeah, exactly. I miss sandwiches, good old sandwiches, like, British sandwiches. But you like, so there's such a familiarity.
Hang on, you miss sandwiches.
They didn't do the same. It wasn't the same.
They're not the same.
You want Anchor butter in there. That's what you want.
And crisps as well. I'm sorry, but we are world leaders at crisps.
It's about the only thing we are.
Yeah.
National pride, and it's fine.
You're right. Like, you miss home. So these guys, you know, refugees don't want to do it. And, you know, or asylum seekers who may be having to flee because, you know, of their sexuality and in their country it's banned or whatever. Like, it's not their choice. They want to live free, but they have to go. Otherwise, you know, could face death or imprisonment or whatever as well. So it's, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's survival. Running away to me is survival. But as I said, I have a natural proclivity to want to run away. It's funny. I remember our old vicar, Marcus, you know well.
I do.
I remember once he said to me, people like you, I worry you'll never get married.
Because,
I had a history of broken relationships.
Yeah, okay.
And he was just like, you know, you naturally just want to bolt and things like that as well. Now, it was slightly unfair. And, knowing him the way we do, he was probably maybe joking. I don't know.
Yeah. Shoots from the hip.
Yeah, exactly. And there is that danger as well. And actually, I think what he was probably saying is you need to sort out why you keep having the same broken relationship, Chris. That you need to figure out what is this pattern of behavior in you or the type of relationship you're attracted to that you clearly don't want. You can't get out of the cycle of it as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the bit of the running away, which is a bit like, maybe don't always run away. Stay and figure out. Also, don't stay in a relationship for the sake of it, just to prove to yourself that you're going to do that. But figure out what's driving you. As you said earlier, Marcus, you're like, you wanted to go backpacking. Uh-huh. The driver is adventure. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But actually, if the driver is to leave unhappiness behind, it's not always going to work. Because to be honest, I was carrying it with me. Wherever I'd go, it would be there.
It wasn't the situation. It was you in the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's about the sort of motivation of it, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, I find it interesting that there are certain footballers in this country, I often come back to football, my chosen subject, who have grown up in a particular city, in a particular part of a particular city, and their football careers perhaps are being held back by their surroundings, and they're trying to move into a new life, I suppose, and their old life is encroaching on that. And the focus on the football. Because if you want to be a top level footballer, or any kind of any sport really, top level anything, but we're talking about football. Well, I'm talking about football. I very much brought this to the table. I'm not going to blame anybody else for a change. But you have to focus. You have to be really fully focused on that. I think some people don't often appreciate the focus of a lot of top flight players, and you might have to leave.
Yeah,
a very high-profile footballer who was growing up in London, and was he himself? I don't think was a particularly bad lad or anything, but you get in with the wrong crowd. You know, you can start playing for a top side, but doesn't necessarily. You don't suddenly change area unless obviously you can. Obviously, you start getting the money, you can go and buy. But your family may still live in a certain area. The people you grew up with, they've not got football as an outlet. They've maybe got into things that they shouldn't be getting into. You're going to hang around with the wrong crowd. This happens so much. There are some players who never shake that, and they never get to where they perhaps should do with their talent and what is expected or hoped of them. And this particular player moved up to Liverpool. Now, people might think, well, Liverpool's a bit, you know, he's got a reputation. Well, I think that's, firstly, I think that's a bit harsh. But secondly, he didn't have any connections to the place. And so could go there. And it was like a fresh start. You know, and I mean, it's sort of akin to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, I mean, I'm not comparing Liverpool and Bel-Air. Let's be clear about that. But it is, you know, there's a bit of trouble at home. Actually, get out of there so you can focus on what you've been arguably put on the planet to do. And that player is now, you know, fully flourished, and it's amazing. But there, getting out of the situation and kind of running away from it is needed, I'd say.
I heard someone once say as well, like, sometimes if there's something that's not good for you, so it's unhealthy for you, you need a clean environment. So when you go to hospital to get fixed, you want it to be sterile. Like, you need the environment to be... So if there's this toxicity coming from your past that's actually polluting who you are and what you're called to do, you need to get a cleaner environment to be able to heal from that too. And again, I'm not saying every environment and you know, I'm not saying cut off from your family and things like that, but sometimes you've got to make that call. Like, that is not good for me.
Well,
and I need to clean house.
In the spirit of that, Chris, that's why our prison system in this country is nonsense.
Yeah.
It's absolute nonsense, because you know, if you've committed a certain crime and blah 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 blah, and you go there, well, you're surrounded by, you know, don't they say it's like a breeding ground for and teachings of different crime, and the rate of reoffending is sky high. There are you're getting into a very kind of a potentially contentious subject, but you look at one of the leading examples of how to do it is in Norway. I mean, often in Norway they get things
usually,
right.
Yeah.
Somebody once described it as Eden with Wi-Fi, you know. But I mean, they have their problems as well, but they, you know, very high standard of living, but they genuinely try and rehabilitate people. And just, yeah, as you were saying that, Chris, you know, you just think, yeah, like if you're down on your luck, you get thrown in a place full of other people and it's done in a certain way and in a, you know, what do you expect?
Yeah.
What do you expect is going to happen? You know, like, and there's an argument to say that those who have committed minor offences shouldn't actually go to prison. But that is a very contentious opinion, I understand. That. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying that I think there's a discussion there. But some people say, well, hang on, but what about this? But you can't just let them roam free and so on. But anyway, I'm getting slightly off topic here.
What you're saying.
And nobody's running away to prison, by the way, voluntarily. I just think I need to.
A little light shoplifting.
You do hear people who are so institutionalized that they can't exist outside of that and actually will do it to go back because it is safe for them.
Yeah. Should people run
and
away?
Sarah's
from
one of them, aren't Sarah?
Break out.
What can I say?
So good that you can podcast in prison.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Curveball. I've been podcasting from prison the whole time.
It is a Norwegian prison, we should say.
That's exactly. Yeah, that's why I'm. It's so comfortable.
Eden.
Yes, indeed, Sarah. But I mean, any more, Sarah, in terms of sort of running away and that kind of idea?
I mean, as I said before, you know, I'm not a big person for running away. I probably, to my detriment, am more of a stay the course no matter what.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as we said earlier, also can be very unhealthy. But I can definitely understand the desire to run away. I can think of a time a few years ago when I remember it was one of the, you know, when just sort of everything happens at once. A lot of bad stuff was happening to me, people I loved. And I was having to sort of be a bit of a linchpin for people.
Yeah.
And it was just too much. And I remember having this moment where I thought, I could just go to King's Cross and get on a train and never come back and not tell anybody where I've gone. Like, I had that, you know, when you just suddenly have this moment of like, I could just not go to work. I could just not do anything. I could just leave.
Sometimes that can be quite appealing.
Yeah. Knowing that I could, I mean, it would have also, like, a lot of stuff would have crumbled. But that moment of going, I could just go.
And so that's because you were overwhelmed.
I was so overwhelmed. And I felt like a lot of people were relying on me and I couldn't carry the weight.
Yeah.
And that was definitely a case of it's a good thing I didn't. And a lot of the time, a little bit of time just needs to pass. Things improve. If there's one thing I know, things don't stay the same for very long. And unfortunately, that is with good things, but also with bad things. Things won't stay the same forever. And sometimes what you need to do is just get your head down and keep going. Mm-hmm. But I completely understand, firstly, why you might want to run. And secondly, that there are situations where it is time to pull the plug and get out.
But I think it's quite important though to have that option, because there's nothing worse than feeling completely and utterly trapped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what, as I say, using that extreme example, poor souls do in certain countries when war breaks out and so on. But to be able to have that option in a more, you know, when we're talking about our lives and situations and scenarios that may crop up in our lives, just to be able to think, yeah, that option is there. Sometimes that's enough to kind of calm you, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I know what my passport is.
Use the word responsibility, which I think is key. It's when you feel overwhelmed with responsibility. And I know that parents can often feel like they just need to run away from their kids. But I think what it is they probably just need a break, because it's so much responsibility caring for other people all the time, or to hold that as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key, isn't it? When you feel so overwhelmed, responsibility is all on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. You are like, gosh, I need to not feel this way.
Yeah, and very true.
Yeah.
By the way, I mentioned John McEnroe and it never came back to the point.
Yeah.
It wasn't really that relevant, but
that's basically what we love on this show.
Indeed. John McEnroe, obviously a fine tennis player. I'm sure a lot of people know him, and he commentates now. But when he was a player, he blamed everything. It was always someone else's fault. It was the referee's fault. It was this, that, and the other. And that was his method of helping spur him on. Whereas his great rival, Bjorn Borg, was much more, okay, what could I do to improve the situation? What did I do wrong? And sort of look in the mirror. And there's two very, very differing approaches. Both had incredible success. But really, as much as you can, because we are dispositioned to be sort of more one or the other, but you want to be a bit more Bjorn Borg, by the way. So that was the point there, but it wasn't so relevant. But in the sort of within your point about the personality types, those who's
the core sensitivities, yeah.
Exactly, McEnroe would be definitely the first one you mentioned. But there we are.
You and McEnroe, very similar men.
Very similar men.
Very successful, similar in many ways.
Charismatic, sexy.
Good on your
eye. Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so on and so forth. Well, there we are, everybody. We've reached the end of the Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers for another week, and it's the end of the series. This is our last episode for a little while. We're going to take a break ourselves. We're going to have a break, because if we didn't, we all might run away, and that's not good. And you'd all have to run after us somewhere. So yes, we're going to have a little break. We do this. We'll be back before you know it. But have a lovely Easter, have a lovely however long it is until we're back in your ears. So it should be good. I mean, the if you want to get in touch, of course, Insta and Twitter is where you can find us at AQQA Pod. So you can say, "Oi, hurry up, get back," or maybe you might say, "No, it's fine, you keep running." So do let us know how you're thinking. Marvelous. All right. Well, until we come back, thank you very much, Sam.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Absolutely delightful.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you soon.